Coming up on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast, we are live at New York Comic Con. Yeah! Guys, we have a great show for you. I could not be more excited. And let's do it right now. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Star Wars Report podcast live from New York Comic Con. I am so happy to be here. I can't even think. That's how excited I am to be here. Guys, seriously, thanks so much for coming out. Thanks so much for coming out to the Star Wars Report live show here at the Topps booth, 454, on the floor of Comic Con. I did not expect it to be this crazy, but it is, and I'm so glad that it is. So, seriously, I'd like to say hi. I'm Riley. I'm sitting here with my sister and co-host, Bethany. How's it going, Bethany?
Hello. Thanks for coming out.
Absolutely. And also here with us is the guy who's actually helping produce this whole thing and wrangle people and make sure the equipment's working and getting the sign up and, like, making other things happen. And, of course, from the Ion Cannon podcast, it's our very own William Devereaux.
Thanks, Riley. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on, William. I appreciate it. So, let's just jump straight into it. William, talk to me about your experience. This is your first New York Comic Con, correct?
This is my first New York Comic Con. My first time in New York, actually. It's been a blast so far.
Awesome.
It's been great. We're going to be talking about some of the Star Wars panels a little bit later with some of the guests we have coming up.
Oh, absolutely. New York Comic Con.
But it's
like,
crazy.
Dude, so I'm used to, like, a Star Wars Celebration or, like, local conventions, Dragon Con. I'm not used to this level of... what's the word I'm looking for? Like, this level of con.
Yeah.
Like, this level...
It is, it's still Friday.
Just, yes!
I'm sure tomorrow is going to be even crazier
with
all the crowds.
Dude, I have no idea what I'm doing. Both right now and also
just
at the convention.
Just in general.
But we have had a lot of really, really cool things happening here at the convention. Bethany, you specifically... have had a great time in New York so far. What sets New York Comic Con apart so far?
I would say the flavor of New York City itself. So, like, when you're outside of the convention center, for example, you have people who are kind of selling passes, perhaps in ways they shouldn't be. Comic-Con, you got your passes for Comic-Con.
That was a crazy moment. There was something about that. Yeah, I'm trying to put my finger on it, but I think for me, New York Comic-Con, there's something specifically more not just corporate, but, like, just the sheer presence of the different fandoms here in terms of booths at the exhibit hall. That's what's been particularly shocking to me. And this is evidently nothing compared to some conventions.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, San Diego Comic-Con, that sort of thing. But it's still massive, and there's pretty much every franchise you can imagine is here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's not as big of a Star Wars presence this year as in years past.
But
there's still plenty of Star Wars stuff, lots of fans. It's always fun to hang out with all the fans. That's like, it's half or more of the fun of going to these conventions, right?
Yeah.
Seeing all your friends, like the ones here today.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Really
absolutely.
Is.
Yeah, it's been so much fun. And I think that's in some ways allowed us at the convention to not... It's not as high pressure. Being able to do the Star Wars stuff isn't just absolutely crazy.
It's not wall-to-wall work. You can, you know, do all sorts of other stuff, too. Right?
But it's manageable, and that's the main thing.
Exactly.
But speaking of the Star Wars presence, I want to actually... So here's how the show's going to go. We're going to be rotating through a bunch of different guests and friends. So what we're going to start with is I actually want to bring in a good friend of ours. In fact, one of our roommates here at New York Comic Con, Mr. Mike Audette, does Coffee with Kenobi, right for RetroZap. How's it going, sir?
Great. How about you, Riley?
It's loud.
It is very loud here.
Like, I feel like the noise attracts the noise, I think.
I think it might be
our own fault. But yeah, thanks for coming on, man. So you've had... This is not your first New York Comic Con, is it?
No, I came here last year.
Okay. What's been your big events that you've been looking at Star Wars-wise at New York Comic Con so far?
For this year, it was obviously the Hasbro panel yesterday, talking about a lot of new Rogue One stuff that's going to be coming out closer to around the movie and a little after what they got coming up even close to next year.
Okay.
Give us the lowdown. Sure. So... Yesterday they announced that new Black Series 6-inch figures are going to be coming out. Cheer It and Baze Malbus.
Nice.
Along with Director Krennic and a new all-new Darth Vader. So they've made Darth Vader figures before, but what they want to do is they want to just keep getting better and better at making, you know, nice Darth Vader figure that looks like he does in the movie. So, like, they went over, like, little details, how they're changing things of his paint jobs on his helmet. It looks more glossy now. They're adding some, like, silver touches into his on his helmet so it looks more authentic from the actual film, things like that.
Now, I was wondering, what figures are people looking forward to the most now?
Probably still the K2SO figures.
Really?
Those were probably the best sellers from Rogue Friday.
Interesting. I wonder, because we've seen so little of him, like, in any of the official marketing material.
Yeah.
Like, that surprises me. I wonder if there's... I don't know. That does surprise me a little bit. So where is it? Talk a little bit about Force Friday, because did you do the whole midnight thing?
No, I had work, so you know.
I hear this so much. So, but like, I wonder if, like, there's the same, I don't know, same prominence for Force Friday this year versus last year, because I got the sense it's a little lower key.
I follow a lot of people on Twitter and seeing what they were doing.
Yeah.
Toys R Us's were the only ones that actually did midnight openings.
Well, okay.
It's like 24-hour Walmarts, but they didn't do any events or anything. They just put the toys on the shelf. You know, a lot of the Toys R Us's actually had events and did things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a little more low-key, but I guess it's just, it was more focused than when it was with Force Friday with The Force Awakens.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I feel like, see, for me, that's exactly what I did. Like, I did not go out at midnight, and I did the whole thing where I just kind of went out to Target and Walmart on Friday, just in the middle of the afternoon. It's like, well, actually, here's the deal, is that I was just like, you know what, I'll skip it. You know, Force Friday, I'm not much of a collector. I don't really do any of the Hasbro stuff. Like, some of the Lego's attractive to me, but, you know, it's just like, it's so-so. So, and then I was on my way home after a full day of classes in ROTC, and I was like, I was a little tired. And I looked by, and I was like, oh, there's Walmart. I think check out what's going on. And so I do, and I probably like, well, this is pretty cool. They've got, like, the exclusive Funko Pop of Saw Gerrera. That was really cool. So, like, I picked that up for a friend, got my Luke Skywalker Funko.
Nice.
But here, more importantly, I went to the Lego section at Walmart. And at the Lego section, I saw all these amazing Force Awakens Lego sets. And then I saw this giant empty space at the far end of the Star Wars Lego section. And every single Rogue One Lego set had been cleaned out.
Really?
Just absolutely empty. So it's like, well, time to go to Target. Because
I'm not going home empty-handed.
Exactly. Well, and I did, and then I realized how much Lego costs. So there's that. Yeah. No, the Force Friday, and I think we are looking ahead to Rogue One. And we are going to talk Rogue One a little bit later into the show. But I feel like the collecting... Since you bring in Hasbro, the collecting is sort of a reflection of where the film is now.
Yeah,
and I'm looking forward. We're going to discuss that a little bit later, as well. But dude, thank you so much. Where can people find you and what you do, Mike?
I write for Coffee with Kenobi as well as RetroZap.com.
Sweet.
You can find my articles and things over there, and you can follow me on Twitter at Mike_Audette.
Sweet, sweet. We will link you up, sir. Thank you so much for coming on,
awesome.
Man.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Everybody give Mike a round of applause, please. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much. All right, so now sitting down at the booth is our now best friend. Not only has he given us a table to record our podcast at, not only has he given us a power supply, he moved said table just so that we can make it all happen somewhat last minute. It's Mark Von Olin. It's from Tops. Mark, thank you so much for coming on the Star Wars Report and for hosting us here.
No problem. Thank you for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
Can you hear me? We're good?
Yeah, you're good. You're good. Thanks so much
We're in the loudest part of the convention.
I know. I was
just spot.
I was just like, well, and I feel like the volume just, like, took off.
It flies up. I mean, this is a gigantic place. If you've never been to the Javits Center before, this is what it's like. It's like a jungle at all times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
So, Tops. Topps has been kind of busy in the last year or two in the Star Wars license.
And we've really been busy for 40 years. I mean, we're one of the only licensor, if you don't count Kenner Hasbro, who's had the Star Wars license uninterrupted since 1977.
That is amazing.
Wow. I know. I'm part of a long history, which is very exciting. I feel the weight of that every day, but in a good way. Meaning
good.
Like, I'm excited to be a part of it. We're thrilled about all the new content coming up, and we've got 6 movies over 6 years. There's just so much to do, which is awesome.
It's like, and there's so much with the Star Wars license specifically. Like, we're at the booth, and you guys have all kinds of stuff, but talk specifically a little bit about what Topps is doing with Star Wars these days.
Right. So it's been a busy year already. We're almost done with the year.
I know.
But at the end of last year, everyone remembers the first new movie in forever, it seems, The Force Awakens came out. So we put out our first Force Awakens set in December of 2015, and then Series 2 in March, and then Chrome just a couple months ago. So we've got this structure in place now where we do a preview set in October, Series 1, a Series 2, and then a Chrome set for all the new content that's coming. So that's really our plan. We'll be doing that with Rogue One as well. We're in Rogue One countdown mode, which is awesome.
Yes.
Our set, which came out on October 1st, is called Mission Briefing, and it's very much a saga-wide tale of everything related to the Death Star. So, you know, to prep you for this movie, you need to know, well, what is the Death Star? Why do we care about it? Like, how did it get blown up? Who is involved? Who is Tarkin? We have all those answers in there.
Who on Earth left that exhaust port at that one location where they really shouldn't have?
Self-destruct button.
Exactly.
And if you've watched the Phineas and Ferb Star Wars special that is non-canonical hysterical, they answer that question for you, and it is fantastic.
I watched that.
That's
great. Yeah. It was just on the other night, too, so it's fresh in my head. And I forgot how good. And Thomas Brody Sangster from Phineas and Ferb is in Force Awakens for like a split second. You blink and you miss him. And we got him to sign autographs for us. So
nice.
Personal dream come true, because I love both. I love that show. And I love
nice. Yep. That is amazing. So Rogue One, so like, how does, as a licensee, how do you approach something that's very different? So Star Wars came back in such a big way with this sort of cumulative film that generations have been waiting for. Like,
right.
Everyone wants to know what happened to Luke Skywalker.
Yep.
No one found out at that movie, but now we all anxiously await Episode 8.
It's so true.
But now we're transitioning towards a spinoff film, this sort of war film. As a licensee, what's reflected as far as, like, how do you guys decide cards? What are some of the characters that you want to highlight front and center? Talk a little bit about the process with Rogue One.
This was really tough for us, actually, because if you remember what we did for The Force Awakens, we called our first set The Journey to The Force Awakens.
Yep.
That if you had never heard anything about Star Wars, and we're going to go into Episode 7 blindly, you would now see the story of Episodes 1 through 6, which is very easy to do. As we started thinking about what our preview should be for Mission Briefing, we were like, well, it can't just be a prequel set. That doesn't make any sense. They barely talk about the Death Star. They barely talk about Tarkin. You don't really learn anything. So we created this like non-linear path because this movie is like a side story, right? But it connects very closely to everything that happens in A New Hope. It's really important. We've already seen some important characters in the trailers, like Mon Mothma. She looks like she plays a prominent role. So we wanted to remind people of what happens before, after, during, around, and why this story is going to be so important. And it looks like Rebels is leading that way, too.
Yes.
So I keep telling people, watch Rebels.
Yes.
Because that's where the action is going to be between now and Rogue One. It's the only new content flowing, and it seems like they're inching ever more closely to what's going on in Rogue One and A New Hope.
Yes. No, and I love how interconnected it is now.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that it all seems to be moving in the same direction makes it
Wedge
amazing.
Wedge Antilles is going to appear tomorrow.
Yes.
Which I'm so pumped about.
Yes.
We actually just got Dennis Lawson, who plays the actual Wedge, to sign autographs for us this year.
No way.
Oh, wow. That's so awesome.
So imagine we could get the voice.
I will tell you, tomorrow's episode will not disappoint you.
You've seen it already? I'm dying.
I
got to meet Ashley Eckstein again yesterday, and I forgot to ask her about the owls because I'm obsessed.
And we had the pleasure of interviewing her yesterday, and she was hinting at it, just like torturing us.
I
like,
can't.
I'm sure
dying.
She's like, I'm sure there's something to do with those Convrees.
Yeah. Well, there's no such
I
thing
don't
as
know,
dead in the Star Wars
but I'm
universe.
Sure there's something.
You know, especially when you're a Jedi and you're so connected to the Force, but there's no such thing as death, right? So is she that owl? She's hanging out with Bendu. She's watching over Kanan. There's some unfinished business.
I know. It's the
you
same.
Know, my money's
the same
that.
Freaking color scheme. It's the same color scheme.
Yeah, same color scheme.
It's
absolutely.
Well, connect the dots.
After the Mortis daughter thing, like we knew there was a bigger story coming for Ahsoka, and the connection is pretty obvious, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm also just blown away about having Tom Kane on the show. I'm sorry, Tom Kane. Tom Baker.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I love
yes.
Tom Kane as Yoda. Tom Baker coming in as Bendu is like life changing as
yes.
a moving in with me.
It's in fact like, but now I want to nerd out about Rebels. See, the thing is, though, especially like with the way that not just the color scheme, but the fact that, and Ashley pointed this out in our interview, that Ahsoka ostensibly died in the Mortis trilogy, and the fact that it was the sister who resurrected her, and that color scheme that matches the Convery.
Yep. Well, and not only that, but the sister died resurrecting her, so. You know, there's an interesting connection there. I am wondering, though, you guys have a great booth here at New York Comic Con. And
thank you.
I mean, it's a great setup. And I'm wondering, and I'm sure everybody listening to this is wondering, will you be at Celebration?
Oh, absolutely. We were at Celebration 2 years ago and this past year with our UK team. They handled they had a big... I think it was a Millennium Falcon blow-up kind of thing.
Yes,
they were giving out Galactic Connections discs. They had their own exclusive cards. It was an awesome activation. I wasn't there myself, but the team sent lots of photos, and it looked fantastic. We will absolutely be in Orlando in April. I've already got my tickets booked.
Nice.
And my hotel and my flight and everything. We're going. Tops will be there in a big, big way. And in a way that I'm not actually allowed to talk about yet, there'll be a surprise twist coming.
Ooh.
If I can say more than that. I'll leave you with that. We will certainly have a booth and much, much more.
Well, let's say if you were waiting with bated breath, if you were just wanting a morsel of information of some of those amazing plans you guys have, where could you possibly follow and find Tops?
Oh, we have a
online.
Variety of social channels that you should follow us on. So I'm at Darth Von Olin, and I do all of like the Star Wars specific tweeting. Like if we're live tweeting during Rebels, it's me. But our official channels, it's at Tops Cards. And then on Twitter. Also visit us at Facebook.com, Official Top Star Wars. I post every day with all of our activities coming up, all the
nice.
New card sets, announcing new autograph signers, things like that.
Nice. That is amazing. Yeah, we will absolutely do so. And we'll make it easy for you guys. We'll keep all of those links in the show notes for this episode of
Perfect.
The Star Wars Report. Mark, thanks so much for coming on the Star Wars
Thank
Report.
You. Thanks for having
yes,
me.
Appreciate
thank
it,
you.
Sir.
See you guys soon.
All right, so next up, we're going to do a quick giveaway.
Sweet. Yes, I almost forgot. We have sweet, sweet things to give away, which makes me very, very excited.
So I have a question for all of you listening. What was Bethany's, my own, first convention ever?
Oh, this is a good one. Oh, this is a... All right, we have an answer. All right, this is
a complete guess, but... Maybe it's a trick question, and it's something like Star Wars Weekends.
No. It's an actual convention. Yes.
Malibu Stacy Con by the San Diego Airport Hilton.
No, it is not.
Damn. That was a good one.
We have to.
All right, it's a convention we all know and love. So which one?
Take a guess.
Which one? Whoever guesses the first. Oh.
So we've narrowed it down. We know it's Star Wars Celebration. All right. Wait.
Yes.
All right, we have a guess.
You got it.
Yeah. All right, you, sir. Congratulations, sir. You get your very own Thrawn poster. Yes. Well, all right. So you heard his illustrious Australian accent make an appearance ever so briefly, and I will not tease you anymore. Let's get the man. It's Steel Wars... Steel Saunders.
Hey, you guys.
On the Star Wars Report at
Thank
New York
you.
Comet. How's it going, man?
Long time listener, first time on the show.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's a long time coming, sir.
Yeah,
a long time coming.
Good
how
to see you guys.
How is life over at Steel Wars?
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yes.
Doing lots of episodes every week. We just did a really fun one with Nathan Hamill.
Oh, nice.
The son of,
I think I saw the
Hamill
link to that.
Himself. Yeah. So that was,
did he drop any dirt on his dad? That's the question.
A little bit, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what we want to hear.
We went in depth on trying to work out what his dad's plan was to save Han Solo in Return of the Jedi. Because it doesn't really make sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, they just leave all their sweet stuff
there. Was a YouTube video I believe I saw on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of.
Like, the plan, it's sort of like they're happy just to leave Chewbacca there, it seems.
But that's true, if you think about it.
Why does Chewbacca always get the short end of the stick?
I don't know.
You pledge a life debt and...
What do we want? Wookiee rights. When do we want them? In a future film. Or one that's set in the past. It's confusing.
Well, speaking of confusing, Let's talk. So we've gotten a chance to hang out a little bit more today. And, of course, for you guys who listen to the Star Wars Report and you don't listen to Steel Wars, you should. Steel's a really talented comedian and a really funny guy, but also a big Star Wars fan. And so I assume you're in on the Rogue One thing. You sold? You ready to go? You got your tickets?
I'm good to go. I don't have my tickets. I'm happy for it to take time. I like the wait.
Oh, you do?
Okay. Like the salivation.
Yes.
Like the anticipation of it. Like, yeah, I'm sure it's going to be great, but I like the building of excitement and the trailers and the conventions and the tears and the jeers. Like, I like all that stuff. I like it when the film comes out as well, but I don't know. I've never... super in a rush for it to come out.
There's something about
the build up of it.
There's something about the anticipatory phase of a Star Wars film that I'm the generation that the first time that really got to properly happen was The Force Awakens for me.
Yeah.
Like, because I was young enough with The Phantom Menace that, like, I was aware of what it was, but I hadn't even seen a Star Wars movie when it came out.
Well, I was real little when Return of the Jedi came out.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like one of my first memories is going to see it. And it's also the first memory of being sad. Like, because George Lucas had said, that's it, we're not making any more films.
I thought you were going to say when Yoda died.
No. Well, that was sad. I think, actually, when the Ewok died, that hit me more. That was like, where's that guy's Oscar?
Was that Paplo? No, who was that Ewok? He has a name.
I don't remember.
I think he was, like, named recently.
I don't think he's in the top 12.
Like. Email us, starwarsreport@gmail.com. We'll be flooded. The Ewok, was it moment 203 minutes?
It was an awkward funeral because no one could, like, reference him by name. It was just like, he was a really good guy. He fought well. But
Ewok.
Yeah, but... That, wow, what an uncaring heckle from the audience. Yeah, it was the first time I thought, oh, that's the end of something.
Yeah.
And so I've got this, like, memory as a real little kid. And it was also the same thing as when I came out of Revenge of the Sith, because you thought that was it as well. And so...
I do remember that kind of sinking feeling of sadness.
Yeah. So I like the build-up to things. I like it afterwards as well, but the build-up's the most... Like, that week before The Force Awakens came out, and there was, like, all, like, interviews and podcasts and, like, hints at reviews and stuff and watching the red carpet and stuff, that was super fun.
Well, we were talking earlier, and you were telling me about your ridiculously long wait at San Diego Comic-Con for the big Force Awakens panel.
Yeah, so we did the overnight, the sleepover. My friends Jason and Randy from Making Star Wars did a two-night. But I did a one-nighter, and it was the best time. Like, people sort of think it's going to be a horrible thing.
Well, I mean, that's sort of the joke, right? That's like, just embrace the suck. You're going to be dead, but it's worth it.
Yeah, I love the line, because you're stuck in a line with people that have the exact, like, same interests as you. So you just make tons of friends. Like, that's sort of where I met Dom and Chris, like, in a line, and those guys. And yeah, it was just sort of like an all-night party. And, There was times late at night where we're just like, is this going to be good? Like, is Harrison...
It's like the end of Fanboys. It's if it sucks?
Is Harrison Ford going to show? Because it was like, it was very mysterious who was going to be on the panel.
That's true.
And so when we got in there and there's like 12 seats lined up, no, there was 11. They didn't put a seat out for Harrison Ford as a final surprise.
Ah.
But I could tell there was a bit more table left. And there was also a mic on the table. So but when he came out, it was... There was not a dry eye in our row. It was it was very cool.
That is amazing. Because I remember I remember just covering it live that night. We did a live stream just kind of following along on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I think even though I wasn't even anywhere near it, there was something magical about that night. Like, when they released specifically... They released that night was the release of my favorite Force Awakens trailer, which wasn't a trailer. It was the behind-the-scenes reel.
Oh, yeah, with Mark Hamill's voiceover. That was, like, I remember when, like, his voiceover came over
practical effects. The
stadium.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, I'm getting goosies again just thinking about it.
Yeah.
But, like, for when the main three came out, like Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and Carrie Fisher, and then they sort of start joking and riffing about the ancestral ways of the Skywalker family. Like, that was
on stage.
That was peak Star Wars nerd. It's like, you guys are doing my podcast. What have I got left now? I'm going to have to star in clearing, like, Air Force 1-2 or something like that just to get Harrison Ford back. But that was a day of, like, like pure joy. And then to have the concert afterwards like sprung on us, it was like that sort of stuff. Like the beforehand is like, it's so fun. And
yeah,
it's like, I don't know, 2 days after Christmas, I'd rather 2 days before Christmas. Do you know what I mean? That's when you're excited. 2 days after Christmas.
It's just like rain and snow and you're going back to work or school and you're just sad.
That's racist. It's hot and army in Australia.
I was going to say, yeah, on this side of the planet.
Even more
this
depressing.
It's a worldwide podcast, all right? You're alienating the southern hemisphere.
Well, I mean, hey,
I'm sorry, would you say hemisphere one more time for us?
Say again?
Say hemisphere one time for us all. The
hemisphere. That's not a hemisphere. This is a hemisphere. I don't know what you want.
All right. No, now I'm just trolling the Australian. I should feel terribly guilty about myself. Yeah, that's, I don't know. There is something, just going back to the whole, it feels different with Rogue One, which I do, I kind of do want to transition and talk a little bit about like where we are with Rogue One, because like there's been like a steady stream of news, but I get this, not just the fact that this is a spinoff film, but I get sort of the whole tempered expectations thing. Where are you at? I remember like Bob Iger came out and he was tempering expectations a little bit and there's a big reaction.
Yeah, I don't think Bob Iger coming out saying that it's not going to do as well as the most successful film in American history
is
really news. Like, I don't know, like, if that, well, that was the duh part of his speech, like, it's quite obviously it's not going to reach that peak.
Yeah.
But it's going to probably be the biggest film of the year. Maybe not in this year because, you know, we've only got a couple of weeks. But we can do it, can't we?
Well, I have a recurring chant that I will give for the box office tracking. And I believe this was mentioned over lunch, but I'm bringing it officially onto the podcast. And that is, it's the greater than less than BVS meter. The BVS, the BVS-ometer. That's what we're saying. That's a little close to another ometer. But no, seriously, like, if it does better domestically than about 315 or so million, it will have beat Batman versus Superman at the box office. That's what I consider, like, success. If it beats, like, the two most iconic superheroes of all time in the same movie and a Star Wars spinoff film beats it.
Okay, well, my success rating is much like Batman versus Superman, when the credits come up, I don't want to be furious at every person listed in the credits.
Oh, burn.
Because I was watching them go up, and I've got a lot of people to get revenge on. Like, I'm starting with you, Snyder, and then I'm working my way down the cast list.
Sorry, sound design people. Yeah. No. That's probably Skywalker sound, actually.
That's catering. I'm coming for you. Key grip. Lighting, assistant to Mr. Affleck, all of them. Panavision, Dolby, THX.
There's so much pure hatred.
He's
embracing the dark side here. Yeah, but how are you personally on Rogue One? What are you most looking forward to?
Mendo. It's all about Mendo. That's like Ben Mendelsohn.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Melbourne boy as well.
Okay, and so there's the Australian connection.
Yeah, and in Australia we shorten everyone's names. Like,
okay.
So, Ben Mendelsohn is Mendo in Australia. So we're very excited. Like,
does that make Riley Blanton Reebla?
You'd be like Ryo or something like that.
Okay. Reebla doesn't have that. Well, actually, hearing an Aussie say Reebla would probably actually have a nice ring to it.
But I'm not a very, like, nationalistic, like super, like, get into the Olympics and all that sort of stuff. Not like I love Australia, but I'm not like, it's the greatest country in the world, like that sort of stuff. So I'm not that into that sort of thing. But when Ben Mendelsohn came out at Celebration, Melbourne's own Ben Mendelsohn came out dressed as Krennic with all those death troopers, like at Celebration in London. I was just like, I love my country. I love everything about it. I love kangaroos. I love koalas. Crocodile Dundee, shout out to you. Yeah, so it's like, and he's such a good actor and he's such like a cool guy that... Yeah,
and see,
really
and I literally
excited.
Say, and this is, we're the dumb Americans. We know, I don't think I've ever seen him in a film, but he looks amazing.
Well, we've been watching him, like, probably since I was eight. Like, he was in, like, sort of like, kind of like the, like a Hardy Boys sort of style kids adventure show called the Henderson Kids, where it was like, they lived in this lovely place called Henderson's Point and evil developers had secret plans and the kids uncovered it.
Yeah.
Well, Ben Mendelsohn was one of those kids, which is ironic that now he's trying to keep plans from other people.
So yeah. True.
Ben,
so true.
Are you sure it's not just the cape that's got you going? Cape.
I do like how he just doesn't care about what, like, if you're going to have a dope cape, it's like when you've got a sweet car.
Yeah.
And you're worried about getting it scratched. Like, you don't really enjoy it. But when you've got a sweet cape and you're like, yeah, it gets wet, it might not get wet. That's how to enjoy a cape. You know what I mean? You don't be worried about your cape hitting the ground all the time. So I think Mendo wears it well. But I love, he just seems like a super dope character. And the fact that
Ben
Mendelsohn
as here's the true test of Aussie loyalty.
Okay.
Who wore it better, Lando or Bendo?
Oh, Mendo, come on.
Yeah? Okay, there wasn't even hesitation, ladies and gentlemen. Not even a second of hesitation.
Rose Byrne's the best handmaiden.
Wait, I just feel like we could do an entire segment on just the Australian connections to Star Wars now.
Actually, yeah.
Besides the prequel filming locations, right?
Yeah.
Right? So where... All right, so...
Well, that's the cool thing that it was filmed in Sydney, the two prequels.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have on the podcast a lot of people that have worked... like on those shows. One of my friends who's like a super funny guy, Angus, did work experience on Attack of the Clones. Oh, do you know what work experience is?
Is that a thing?
It's sort of like when you're in high school.
Okay.
To find out about what you want to do later in life, you go work at a business. Like, so you go work.
Okay.
I did it with a photographer. So I work with a photographer.
That's so
cool. Yeah, like an internship here in the States a little bit.
But just for a week.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? And you're like 15 or 16. And he scammed it that he's... uncle or something was a carpenter on Attack of the Clones, and then after his week finished, he just kept going. He went for like a month. It was like letting Bart Simpson on the set, because he was sort of like, maybe everything he did was not above board. He might have a few interesting bits of paper in his collection and stuff, but he befriended Jet Lucas. It's on one of the episodes of the podcast, but it is hilarious that they let this 15-year-old kid run riot. And like George Lucas asked his advice on something. Like, what did you think about this? And he's like, yeah, good.
What do you think of the scene with the big ticks? Was that good? Was that all right?
It's hard to yell a George Lucas impression, which we do kind of have to yell because of the room noise. Still, dude, thanks so much for coming on.
It's been amazing.
And let folks know again what Steel Wars. Where can they subscribe?
Just on iTunes, Steel Wars. It's STEELE Wars, and then or you can get steelwars.com, and there's a free iPhone and iPad app that you can stream stuff, or you can just hit subscribe, just like a normal everyday podcast. But check it out. And
sweet.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Love the show.
Absolutely, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
I'm so glad to find out the theme music. We're talking about that before.
Oh, yes.
I thought it was some classic 70s rock song.
Yes, no.
I didn't get all the Star Wars references.
No. Yeah, I feel like at some point I'm going to play the whole song so people actually know what we're referencing.
Yeah, I was just like rocking out.
So spaghetti cake, man.
Now I get the references, I'm going to have to really... really listen in
exactly
and get the secret Star Wars references, but thanks very much for having us, and
absolutely
enjoy the rest of Comic-Con.
We'll do and we'll be talking to Steel again very soon, and again we'll have all those links in the show notes. Now I'll tell you what,
indeed,
like
will.
there are some people that that let you know your place in life.
He's getting you back right now.
On another note, though, on a totally separate, unrelated note, there's a big book presence here at New York Comic Con. No, seriously, like the flagship Star Wars presence is Topps, Sphero, and then most importantly, as far as the guests are concerned, the litany of Star Wars authors that are present here at New York Comic Con and here to tell us all about the inside secret sauce at the Del Rey booth. It's Bria. Bria, thanks so much for coming on. Of course, from Tashi Station and Twitter and everywhere.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No, seriously. So how's your New York Comic Con been?
It's good. I'm really tired of standing on the concrete. I just ran over here from helping with the James Luceno line.
Let's be honest. You're only here because there's a chair, right?
Actually, the chair is really, really nice.
These are the comfiest, Topps. Yeah. When they said they got a table, I was like, great. But these are the comfy leather chairs. In fact, I feel like they're poor Topps volunteers and stuff who are just chairless.
There's a chair. There's carpeting.
Mm.
You have no idea how much you appreciate carpeting until you've been on your feet for 3 hours on the one little concrete patch that's right there.
Yes. Yes, so true. But, so Star Wars book presence at the Delray booth. Give us the lowdown, because, I feel like let the people know who are listening right now what the magic is that always is going on around the Delray booth. It's like its own institution now.
Well, right now, Timothy Zahn is signing at the Delray booth. I actually just ran over here.
I'll be right back. I'll just be right back here.
There was a whole line that was already forming. We kept trying to tell people, like, okay, we're not forming the line until 5 minutes before 3:30, and what happened? We had a line at 3:10 because one listens. But yeah, so he's got a very long line right now. He's signing Thrawn posters. But that's essentially how it works. We get the authors coming in. We do a free poster giveaway. And sometimes we got one of them there. Sometimes we got two. And you get your book signed, whatever you want.
Sweet. I love how it's also sort of like the hangout place. It's like the Star Wars place for everybody.
They've got comfy carpeting.
Yes.
It's so great.
I know.
Mean, they're also good people, too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm really stuck at the carpeting right now. My knees are killing me.
No, exactly. Well, and let's talk about the specifically the authors panel that happened this morning here at the convention. In fact, tell us, I don't know, there's something, I'm just going to start off with this.
Yeah.
Seeing Chuck Wendig and Timothy Zahn sitting next to each other, just joking around, it was the best thing ever.
My favorite one was when the question was, you know, what is one of your biggest sci-fi influences? And Tim gives his answer, and then Chuck just leans over and goes, maybe this guy right here, I don't know.
I have that captured on our DSLR, moment. I cannot wait to share that picture.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I think that, because you're a longtime Expanded Universe fan, right?
I am.
So now that you're in the world of new publishing and you are very into it, what specifically, because we have all these amazing authors, what have been some of the actual highlights for you as far as the new canon goes?
Bloodline? Claudia Gray's Bloodline is my third favorite Star Wars book of all time.
Oh, nice.
I will tell everyone to read it.
So, like, North, here's the true question. Is it ranked above Lost Stars?
Yes.
You are the first person I've ever talked to that ranks any book, ever, Lord of the Rings, it doesn't matter, above Lost Stars. Everybody loves Lost Stars.
No, my top three are Starfighters of Adamar.
Okay.
Shatterpoint.
Yeah.
Bloodline.
Nice.
That's how good it is. But granted, that book was, like, tailor-made for me because it's all about Leia and Alderaan and, like, her legacy with Bail and Anakin. So I was just like...
That's true. That is exactly like that is like the exact elements that you want to see. That is
So I am wondering, do they have author signings with all of the authors here at the convention now, or
no? The best you can do, I think, John Jackson Miller and James Luceno are signing tomorrow afternoon together, and then Chuck Wendig and Timothy Zahn are signing together Sunday morning.
Ah, okay.
So that'll be a fun signing.
Nice. That is amazing.
So also at the authors panel, we had a number of announcements that were coming up. And
yes, we did.
I want to know which ones you're most excited about.
Well, I missed half of them the first time they announced them because they kind of just like ran through them. Half of us were still stuck on the, what was the first one you said?
Yeah.
It went through very quickly.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of Rogue One stuff that's coming up.
Yeah, apparently. So Beth Revis is doing a Jyn book. And then
Greg Rucka's doing something, right?
He's doing the Baze and Chirrut book.
And nice.
That's going to be middle grade. And the Jyn book is going to be YA.
Yeah, and he did Before the Awakening, which became very highly recommended. Yeah.
He also did the Han Solo book, the middle grade Han Solo book, and he did Shattered Empire.
I was going to say, most importantly, Shattered Empire, which is amazing.
Yes.
I don't know why I feel like I'm the biggest Shattered Empire evangelist for some reason, but I really did like that series.
But did you recognize the Shara Bay walking around the convention yesterday?
I did. No. Because I'm terrible at that kind of thing. I know.
Or the costume with Shara. Couldn't even recognize her. I see how it is.
Yeah. No. But at least I'm honest about it. I'm honest about my miserable failures as a human being.
At least Rucka recognized it, so we were good.
So I want to touch base on with Rogue One with you. So,
yeah.
So it sounds like you're into the X-Wings. Like fighter pilots?
Kind of it.
You're like okay on Poe Dameron. Like he's all right, right? He's okay? All right?
I'm not sure I can say what I would like to say on this podcast.
But now we get like an actual war movie.
Yeah.
Set in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
I am completely and utterly excited about it. I've been excited since they said the title. Even if it's not pilots, if it's more like the commandos and such, I'm really excited for that because I love the Rey Squadron books, which were the pilots and the commandos and everyone having these special skills and being these sort of outcasts and whatever you want to say, who kind of band together for the mission. So
well,
I'm psyched.
I think, and that's like the Star Warsy element. As different as so much of the marketing and the look of the film is, it does have that sort of core Star Wars element that we've seen in the prequels, and then especially a lot more in the Clone Wars, and even more so in Rebels now, because now we have literally the Ghost Crew as its own sort of merry band. So I like the idea that it's a structure that's familiar but doesn't have to be too repetitive.
Yeah. Now, I am wondering your opinion on this, Bria. Okay, so when Ahsoka first arrived on the scene, Star Wars fans were so skeptical. Uh-huh. And then we all fell in love with her, and basically everybody loves Ahsoka. There's an Ahsoka novel coming out in a couple of days. She came back on Rebels, and we will see her story somehow in the future in Rebels. Mm-hmm. When The Force Awakens came out, most people love Rey. Those who don't are just insane, mm-hmm. I think, and belong in insane asylums.
Put them all there.
Preferably in Gotham.
That's terrible.
But you think that Jyn will have the same resonance across fandom that Ahsoka did and that Rey did?
I don't know. Because I think for Rey, it was something so new and so different at the time that you didn't really, the younger girls didn't really have someone who was the main hero at the time. I mean, there's a very good possibility. I think we'll have to see and wait how the movie does. And because it's more of that military and war film, I'm wondering if as many kids will end up seeing it. I mean, I'm sure a bunch of them will, because it's, you know, Star Wars, EA Star Wars, let's go do it. But 50-50.
Yeah, I don't know. I see. Here's the thing about it. I think there's one gentleman who I kind of want to bring in on this conversation.
Because
what's nice is that he can't quite hear us, but he's about to. In fact, I'm going to actually kind of squeeze. Mr. Aaron Goins, I want to squeeze you in if you can share a microphone for just like a second. Because I just want to congratulate. I just wanted to bring you. I didn't want you to miss out on our book panel recap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the Chuck Wendig thing?
For the what?
The Chuck Wendig thing. No, I'm kidding. No, Aaron Goins is Star Wars Bookworms. We were talking books, and we were talking Rogue One, specifically in the world of publishing.
Yes.
Did you see the new announcements?
I actually did. So I was in a Doctor Who panel.
Darn it! I was going to break it to you.
No breaking news to me. No.
I was so close. It's literally been like 3 hours. But I guess you're at the convention, so I will. I guess give me your
convention time. Come on, man.
That's true. It's so true. But like, so your reaction then to some of the new Rogue One stuff we got?
Pretty cool. I enjoy the younger reader stuff.
Yeah.
It's a fast read. It's easy. So those books are like easy to digest, and so it seems like that's pretty much the announcements we got, right? No big adult novels that got announced.
No, I was sitting next to Joan Marie Macias, and of course, well known for the Star Scavengers podcast.
Yes.
Yes, I got it in. I was like, there's an announcement. I can feel it. I feel it in the air. Wait, that's a Lord of the Rings reference. I think that with the world of publishing, I do really like. Greg Rucka stuff. That's probably what I was most excited.
He's got some of the best of the new canon stuff, for sure.
No, like and literally because I never read it. But our buddy Mark read an advanced review copy that they sent him of Before the Awakening.
Yes.
And so we arranged an interview, and I was sitting in to just producing and recording it. And like halfway through this interview, I was just like, "Hey, I want to read and interview this now." And I was just like, "I'm feeling terribly left out." But that's probably what I'm most excited about. I won't make the same mistake this time around with Rogue One. And I'm honestly Catalyst. Like I knew it was coming, but I didn't realize for some reason my brain hadn't made the connection. Oh wait, James Luceno, as in the guy who did Labyrinth of Evil.
Cloak of Deception and Darth Plagueis.
Which both, like, especially Cloak of Deception and Labyrinth of Evil, two books that are some of the first I ever read back in high school around the time of Revenge of the Sith. So much fun.
I actually heard that from the guys at Del Rey that Catalyst is really must read before.
Oh, really? He was hinting it during the panel. He was like, you know, I'm not saying, this is the exact quote pretty much, Aaron. You know, I'm not saying that Rogue One doesn't stand alone by itself well, but it really adds a lot to it. And when I hear that, that sounds like code for you are really going to get a lot more out of Rogue One if you read this. So
it's all the backstory.
Yeah.
So it's like backstory for Krennic. It's backstory for the Erso family. You have a month, November 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Get a reading, kids.
So,
Yep.
So for the junior novels, they announced a Jyn Erso junior novel and then a Cheer It and Baze.
Yep, yep.
So I'm actually more excited about the Cheer It and Baze junior novel because I feel like even though they seem like they're part of the main crew in Rebels, or not Rebels.
Rogue One?
I keep
thinking.
The other thing with the R.
Rogue One, that we're probably going to get a lot more focus on Jyn in the movie and even in a Catalyst.
Yeah.
So this is our chance to get to know more about these other guys. And so I'm really excited about that junior novel.
Yes.
So I want to ask both of you, and Bria, starting with you, if somebody were to only read one book prior to Rogue One, or maybe two, what would you both recommend and why?
Like for Rogue One? Catalyst. I haven't read it yet, but from what everyone's been telling me,
yeah.
Just go I get read the Catalyst. Same. Pick it up on November 15th. Just go read it.
Yeah.
Because nothing else will be out before then. Because these Jyn and these in the Rucka book, they're going to be out in the spring.
Right. I mean, it. So I can't use Catalyst as my answer because she did. I'd say like something like A New Dawn would be probably good to read too, just to kind of get an idea of the setting of the universe. I know it's set, you know, A New Dawn is set a few years before, but just to kind of get an idea of some of the, you know, goings on of like the Empire at that time, that it would fill in more of the information if you're interested in learning more about the expanded canon.
Absolutely. Makes sense. Bria, thank you so much for coming on. And Aaron, the podcast of Star Wars Bookworms. Check it out. We'll link there as well as White Hot Room and Twitter and the internet for Bria. All right. This has been such an amazing show, Bethany. So many good friends we've been able to cycle through, and I'm very excited to have some folks that we've kind of known peripherally.
Yeah.
And I've joked to kind of cap off our podcast here at New York Comic Con. I'd like to introduce some old school. Let's be honest. We're gonna claim the title.
Yes.
We're all the old farts here, right? We're people who started podcasts way back in the day.
Before
no, so
Disney.
it's Dominic and Chris from the Star Wars Underworld. Thanks so much for coming on, guys.
Hey, it's great to be here. I've been listening for a while. It's also awesome to get to chat with you guys.
Sweet. Chris, thanks
Star
so much.
Star Wars Podcasting 2.0 represent.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and so I'm making the joke because we both started our podcasts and networks a few years before the Disney buy. So it's a little more of a... I would say crowded marketplace, but that that picture doesn't do it justice. Yeah. It's more of a attended party. It's a better attended party now, which I love. Dominic, I want to talk to you guys specifically about fandom.
Sure.
Post Disney. Because just for you two guys, especially starting we had some brief conversations over lunch. You were thinking like Star Wars Underworld. This is going to be the big thing. This is our future. And then here you are later getting ready to cover
episode
definitely
eight.
Not that. Yeah, just kind of walk us through your journey.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy because, we kind of thought it was Underworld and Detours and maybe another two seasons of Clone Wars.
Yeah, 13, way back in the day.
That was the exciting stuff. And now, then all of a sudden, all that went out the window, and that's kind of too bad. But instead we get...
There was a lot... That was a very busy
years.
Window. There was a lot going out of that window.
It was a depressing, 2 months where it was like, okay, that's being canceled, that's being canceled, that's on hold, that's never going to be made. But once we got past that, it's been like, a movie every year. It's so much more exciting. And you get to see, when we were doing this, when we started, there was a good Star Wars fan community. But it just has grown exponentially. And, I mean, you see it in the podcast and on Twitter and everywhere, just... So many more people are talking about this, and it's so much fun to see it. And, I love seeing news stories about, the Episode 7 premiere or Force Friday or all that kind of stuff. It just shows that people do care and people enjoy it. And, Star Wars was becoming fringe, and I don't want it to be fringe. I want everybody to be part of it.
Yeah. Chris, talk a little bit about that, specifically, how the fan community's changed, because we've been part of it for so long. Now in this post-Disney era, it's sort of... different in some ways.
I feel, though, that the differences are less about Disney and more about just how technology has changed over the time.
Yeah.
Before Disney, it was all about forums. We were some of the few podcasts, and there weren't a lot of fan sites, and there definitely wasn't really much Star Wars on social media at the time. And then social media kind of exploded right around the time that Disney took over. So there was a lot of change because now it's all about Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Like, so much of Star Wars fandom now. Like,
yeah.
When you think about the time that you devote to Star Wars in your life, a huge percentage of that is scrolling through Star Wars photos on Instagram now. So
yeah.
That's changed a lot. So it's a good time for Disney to come in because they can take advantage of that. And I felt like they're doing a pretty good job. I mean, back in the day, StarWars.com was, you know, it was okay, but you needed other stuff. Since then, they've done a fantastic job. The the web team at the official Star Wars team, all over social media. They even they have a Tumblr,
and the Star Wars show. I love
they got a Star Wars show on YouTube. Everything. Yeah. So I think that they're in with the times as well. And it's just a very good time to be a Star Wars fan because there's so many different ways to connect and so many different ways to contribute and share your passion for Star Wars.
Absolutely. Like, that's important to remember because it's easy to fall into the trap of there are a lot of negatives with this sort of mass social media, and it brings a megaphone to every aspect of fandom, 99% of which are good, but sometimes not so good. But I think it's important because usually I think it's easy to focus on the parts that aren't as good. But I love the fact that we are so much more connected now. Yeah, absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit about Star Wars Underworld. Where can folks find it and catch what you guys do? Because you guys do podcasting, social media all over the place.
Everything. We're even on Pinterest.
I was going to say Pinterest. Are you the only? No, you're not. There's no way they're the only ones on Pinterest.
There's no way we're the only ones, but we got to be one of eight.
There aren't that many.
Yeah. that was almost started.
I feel like
a joke.
The only plug you guys should do in this whole segment. Is just Pinterest. That's Pinterest. All you should link to.
We're on our show notes. We're at the SWU pretty much everywhere.
There it is.
But if you search for Star Wars Underworld, you'll see us. You'll see one random Star Wars comic from the 2000s and maybe some stuff about a show that you may never see on TV.
Nice. But seriously, you guys do podcasts. Yeah, I was going to say podcasting. You guys, what is it?
The podcast we record every week. You can listen live Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. You go to our website, click listen live.
Sweet.
Or you can just download them Fridays on iTunes or the website, and it's a lot of fun.
That's just Star Wars Underworld?
Yeah, Star Wars Underworld or
Easy
Star Wars
as that.
Underworld Live, one of those two.
The Star Wars Underworld podcast.
That's sweet. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to see you. I'm sure we'll be kind of running into each other throughout the weekend. So, absolutely. Dude, Bethany, this has been such an amazing podcast.
But we do
have one more guest because if there's one more thing we need to talk about when it comes to Tops, because Mark was great about giving us perspective in what's happening with the whole world of Rogue One and some of the really cool packs there. But Gino from Tops Digital.
Oh yeah.
You have no idea how much peer pressure my friends put me on to finally get me to break down and get the Topps Cards digital app to just to collect the digital cards. It's a thing.
Oh, yeah.
People love this. Tell us, what's going on with the Topps app?
So when people first hear about it, they kind of give you a look like, wait, digital trading cards?
But yeah.
It's a true world, and fans are really dedicated to it. True collectors want it in both the tangible and digital world. And because of that, we have a very strong fan base. And I think that's why the apps have been so popular and they continue to grow and we have more kind of properties that we continue to release each year.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I feel like, can you give us a sample? I kind of want to take, if we have one on the phone, that would be amazing. But it's kind of difficult to explain if you just say digital cards, but a good buddy of mine, Steve Glosson, just loves collecting the point system and how it works.
I could kind of give you a run through.
So the idea
is that, no longer do you have to carry the heavy shoebox or what we used to call the Bible and flipping through the pages. Your entire collection is on your phone. And just the idea that you could walk up to someone and kind of flip through quickly and swipe and show the cards you have, I think is an element that most of our collectors love to show off to their friends. You can share your collection. You can trade with users around the world, and I think that blows people's mind. I mean, you could be trading with someone in Australia that's just waking up the next day. And I think that anytime, anywhere factor is a microcosm of the millennial generation that's really taken effect on this on our apps.
Yeah.
So and I think there's just a lot to do. I mean, each day you're awarded coins, so you're able to do something in the app. You can collect and trade, like I mentioned, with users around the world. You could trade in your lesser value cards and something called the Smuggler's Den to get, higher values or different variants. So there's a lot to do. And, each time we release the app, we try to make it a little bit more fun and engaging for the user.
Nice. Now, awesome. I'm wondering, what should users of the app be looking forward to the most in the near future?
That I can actually tell you.
Ooh, okay.
Star Wars specifically, we're excited to continue to roll out our Rogue One content. You know, we just have a lot of exciting stuff, especially come December, that I think fans will really take a liking to. So.
Nice. Yeah, no, we cannot wait for Rogue One. And it's so cool. I love, and we were talking to Mark about this, but I love seeing the licensees kind of embrace a whole different kind of Star Wars movie. Because this is new territory for fans, it's new territory for Lucasfilm, and certainly, I'm sure, new territory for the licensees. And I love seeing the different thematic elements of the new film kind of represented on both the digital and the physical when it comes to new content. That's amazing.
Sure, and you know, we do the same in regards to changing our splash screen or an icon. We want to make sure that people know that Rogue One is kind of at the forefront of what we're looking to release in the next couple months. So we're just as excited as a super fan. You know, when we're able to finally have content in the app and press that button, it's a big event in the office.
No, I'm looking to, I got a picture. I love the display you guys have here. And you actually even have the tablets showing it off. That's amazing. I love the Tops. It's the Star Wars Card Trader by Tops. You guys can check it out. It is available iTunes, Android, everywhere. So appreciate it. Gina, thank you so much
for coming by. Thanks for having
me. Seriously, I'll say it to you again. Thanks for hosting us here at the Tops booth.
Oh, our pleasure. You guys have been fantastic.
Sweet.
So.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right, Mr. William.
Yes, Riley.
Grab a seat, sir.
We have a great lineup of guests.
I know. And thanks to you, because like everyone that you just heard running around and smoothly transitioning in between segments and between different guests, that was Bethany and William.
Real quick, there is literally no pausing of this show at all. There's no pausing.
It's a miracle.
All live.
It was all done completely live.
Yeah.
We're doing it live. No.
From New York.
But Will, I realized like at the very beginning we didn't get you on. So I mean we did briefly to talk
very
to speak,
briefly.
But
very
I
briefly talked about our impressions of the
but we did not talk
NYCC.
About. I want to bring in Ion Cannon quickly because
sure.
you guys are in the midst of reviewing Rebels, and that's sort of we've kind of hit the litany of different Star Wars topics here. Let's talk a little bit about Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, let's
specifically we're mid Thrawn, and we haven't had a chance to really have you talk about that amazing season premiere that just happened.
Wasn't it great? I had the opportunity to see it at Celebration Europe
yes.
with both of you. And it was such a fantastic, fantastic episode where they introduced Thrawn. And, you know, he's very true to the character we know and love from the Legends universe, as Timothy Zahn has said. And it was so great. The Rebels this season has been kicking butt. It's been fantastic,
yeah.
hasn't
it? Oh, yes. You know, I've loved it so much. And Thrawn, I mean, I read the Thrawn trilogy multiple times. It was some of my first Star Wars books. And, man, that character is so true to the original character. He's scary. He's terrifying in the
yeah.
show.
Oh, yeah, and I can't wait to see where they take him. I mean, we've only seen him in one episode so far. You know.
Yeah, it was a little... There was a lot of hype, and some of the feedback I heard was people were expecting more. I'm sure we've not seen the last.
No. And you got to remember, this is Thrawn, right? He was calculating. You knew what he was thinking. You know, his mind was constantly going throughout that episode. And we're not supposed to see, like, he's not a big bombastic character. He's very silent.
Yeah.
He's very quiet, but he's cold and calculating, and you do not want to mess with him because he will take you down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so we know that's going to happen
Once he shows his hand, he has all the cards, and he will win.
Like, yeah, and I believe we'll see this in 1 week. Thrawn will be back on Star Wars
Rebels
really? Next weekend.
So we got another episode airing this weekend as we're recording.
Yeah, the Antilles extraction.
And then as people are listening to this podcast, it's this upcoming week. He's back? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. In Hera's Heroes. If you watch the clip, it was on... I'm trying to remember which site it was on. But there was a clip from Hera's Heroes featuring Grand Admiral Thrawn. And it's maybe not the interaction you think, so it's really, really exciting.
He's
Stay
back,
tuned.
And
Thrawn
now
is back.
He's ticked off.
And, you know, this weekend's episode is fantastic.
Yeah.
The Antilles extraction. And, of course, you know, the inclusion of Darth Maul in last weekend's episode.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
So many great moments in that episode. The end has huge implications for Star Wars, I think.
Yes.
I think we could be setting up a very...
Mm.
I think Dave Filoni's a very visionary guy. Let's put it that way.
See, that's what we're calling pulling a Dave, too, by the way.
Yes.
Guys, let's introduce you to... let's expand the universe.
Expanding the universe.
So
hi, I'm Dave Filoni.
What people don't realize is that Dave not only trains the Rebels crew
hey
to
guys.
Just say whatever he wants, he starts training the press to expect it and to repeat it, too. So we all come away with like, oh, yes, Dave is the master.
But he's been actually masterminding all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Dave Filoni. Admiral Thrawn and Filoni.
I was going to... you beat me to it, sir. You beat me to it. Yeah, and you guys are reviewing each episode on Ion Cannon here on the network.
Are. Yeah, so we release every week shortly after the episode airs, usually the Sunday nights after episodes air.
Sweet.
And then... we're also going to be reviewing the new Ahsoka book that comes out
yes,
on
coming
Tuesday.
Right up. Yeah, I'm so excited.
Away.
Like, especially being at the authors panel, the Ahsoka book, and honestly, speaking of Thrawn, like, just I don't know. See, there is something about the Thrawn trilogy being one of those first books I read.
Oh yeah.
I cannot wait.
And
to
I cannot
see
wait to see what Thrawn does. Zahn does with Thrawn in the book next this April.
It's well, I mean, with Zahn, when Zahn writes Thrawn, the pawns fawn over the... All right. Every dawn. All right. I'm going to stop.
Long Riley can keep rhyming.
Oh, dear.
All right. I'm stopping.
I don't know if that's a good way to end or not.
I think we're reaching towards our end. But yeah, it's absolutely... Ion Cannon is available on iTunes and...
Everywhere podcasts are sold.
Sweet, sweet.
Or downloaded for free. Because we don't actually make any money off this
thing. And you're on Twitter as...
Master Devwa, D-E-V-W-I.
All right, I'm going to try exactly. And we'll run through plugs. I'm going to try something risky here and see if we can hit up some of our outro music. There we go. All right, that does. It's working for now. So that puts the wraps. That puts the wraps on this week's episode of the Star Wars Report. See, I'll tell you what, guys, it's a lot harder to monitor audio levels when you're not wearing headphones. I'm not used to this.
You're doing a great job, though.
We've somehow survived the show. We've had literally the New York Comic Con Twitch stage hosted by the amazing Amy Ratcliffe. Literally like two booths over the whole time. Big crowds, lots of noise. But I think it's working. It's working! It's working! So seriously, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks to everybody who came on the show today. Thanks to Tops for supporting us.
And for everybody who came by. Yeah.
And for everyone who came by. It's been such a blast to do this here from the convention floor.
But especially Tops for letting us
absolutely
podcast directly from their booth. This has been great.
Couldn't say it often enough. You can find us, this very podcast. It's on iTunes. It's RSS feed. Everything's in the show links. And now available on the Google Play Store. So I finally got that through. You guys have been emailing for like weeks and weeks and weeks. Finally, I've done it. I finally sat down, and it is now available there. Also, make sure that you follow us on Twitter. It's at Star Wars Report. Of course, Facebook.com/StarWarsReport. You guys know the drill. StarWarsReport.com. You can find the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and check out the links to everyone who made an appearance to our show in the show notes for this week. One final final note, iTunes. We always appreciate those reviews as well. And you can follow William personally. He's at Master Devwi. Bethany is at Bethany L. Blanton. And I am at The Riley Guy. And I just stopped the music accidentally, which I think feel like that's the cue. That's the cue. That's it. We're done. Show's over, guys. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, everybody.